case 60 of the Blue Cliff record, Heikigamroku. The monk asked Joshu, does a newborn baby have the sixth consciousness or not? Joshu said, bouncing a ball upon swift waters. The monk then went and asked Tosu, what does bouncing a ball upon swift waters mean? Tosu said, thought, the flow never stops. And there's a verse to this. The sixth consciousness is devoid of trying. He poses a question. The Zen adepts both knew where he was coming from. Bouncing a ball upon busy, swift waters. Where it falls, it doesn't stop. Who can see it? This is very simple and very, I could say, profound. Very important for all of us to get. So I will unpack it and see if we can appreciate it and see how this reflects on our life, on our practice, on the whole life that we have with all the beings we encounter. So, does a newborn baby also have the sixth consciousness? Well, some translations say, does it have six consciousnesses? Either way, it's talking about what we all are familiar with in the Heart Sutra, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, awareness, self-awareness. So and there's a whole history in Buddhist teachings of all sorts about the various consciousness, about the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, and different schools in Buddhism and different texts take it in different ways and elaborate upon it. But in a way, we need to see what this monk is asking about, because he's not, in a way he is asking this theoretical question, but he's really not asking about that. He's asking about the nature of our sense of self, thinking, emoting, cognizing, all of that. Does a newborn baby have the sixth consciousness or not? Of course, there's theories about, well, the baby is just hears and it doesn't think about it. All of those are really secondary to the questioner trying to enter into a discussion about theory, about wisdoms, what has, what they don't have, what we have, what does this mean? Trying to engage Joshu in an elaborate explanation about whether it's about newborn babies or about ourselves. What is my thinking like? What do I have to do with it? What does it mean? What is it? All of this, in a sense, is not to the point. Not to the point in terms of what our practice is and what our life is. If we get trapped by it, then we're in trouble. if we think that our practice is about such things, then we're in trouble. Why? Because we're no longer practicing in place of that. We're developing theories. Newborn. That's it. All bouncing on swift current. All bouncing on swift current is just the newborn, just as the Buddha, above the heavens, below the earth. I alone am the world on. Newborn. Each moment. But notice how quickly and directly Joshu responds to him. Joshu responds to him in a useful way, in a direct way, to give him the opportunity, if he can hear it. How does he respond? He says, bouncing a ball on swift waters, throwing a ball, if you want to say, on swift waters, tossing a ball on swift flowing water, swift flowing, gently flowing, flowing clearly, tossing a ball on flowing waters. So what happens when a ball is tossed onto and bounces on the water, on the flowing water? This is what our life is. Not in a theoretical sense, but in an actual sense. That's what Joshu is directly showing you. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Where and how the ball bounces is indeterminate, uncertain. As you know, there's principles of uncertainty in physics. It's uncertain in that sense. The water's flowing. The ball is bouncing. Moment, moment, moment. Of course, this is explaining. But imagine the difficulty if we're holding to or caught up in thoughts, self-centered thoughts, self-centered feelings, self-centered judgments. But what our life is bouncing ball on swiftly flowing water. Notice it's not, I'm explaining it a little, but there really is no explaining. It's standing up, sitting down. It's very clear. Except we make trouble with it. We do what's impossible to do in the reality of a bouncing ball on flowing water. Swift flowing water. And yet we do it. And of course the consequence of doing that is we get all wet. We get all wet because we're trying to grab for what's not grabbable. We're trying to creating continuities, certainties in what never was and never can be that. never was and never can be, much less the histories we create and the projections of the future that we create. And we miss this moment, standing up, this moment, sitting down, this moment, this moment. Joshua is just very direct. If you can hear it, of course, the case shows us this monk didn't hear it. Or I should say it differently. He heard it, but he didn't get it. How do we see it? We see that he goes and asks Tosu. The comments on the first part where the monk asks, does the newborn baby have? The comment by Yuan Wu is, what a lightning flash intellect. What newborn baby is he talking about? And then Joshu's like tossing a ball on swiftly flowing waters, bouncing a ball on swiftly flowing waters. It's gone by. Even a swift hawk can't overtake it. And you must still check it out. It's gone by. Everything we attempt to hold on to and catch is gone by, except holding on to it creates difficulties as we blind ourselves with what we're holding on to. Then the whole universe becomes the stories we're creating, and no wonder we get into trouble, whether it's with ourselves or with others. Even a swift hawk cannot overtake you. A nicer way to say it that you might be familiar with is skipping a rock on a swiftly flowing water. Some of you may have tried that in your youth or even now, taken a rock and tried to get it to skip across the water. Notice, can you predict how it's going to go, where it's going to go, where it's going to sink, where it's going to skim along? The water is moving, the rock is moving. Nevertheless, looking for a conceptual meaning, the monk goes to Tosu and asks, what does bouncing a ball upon swift waters mean? Tosu says, thought, thought, the flow never stops. Another translation of that is moment, moment, non-stop flow. So we could even say nen, nen, thought moment, thought moment, thought moment, non-stop flow. Nen, nen, you're all familiar with in, I shouldn't say you're all familiar with, you might be familiar with in the Enmei Juku Kanan Gyo. Goes nen nen jushin ki nen nen furishin, thought moment, only kanzeyon, thought moment, in a sense in Buddhist, psychology, there's an explanation that there's tens of thousands of thought moments in 1 second. And as I said before, of course we know now from various deep studies with advanced instruments that the brain synapses are thousands and tens of thousands, even in a second. That's what this is. Thought, thought, or moment, moment, non-stop flow. The Tosu, in a way, is not different. He's following along since Joshu handed this to the questioner, and then the questioner went to Tosu, probably in a different temple. This is occurred when both of these were well mature individuals, probably in Joshu's old age, and Joshu said to have lived to 120. And in fact, didn't settle down until he, at a temple until he was 80. Some of us were at Joshu's temple in China. And actually, I remember doing circumambulations around Joshu's stupa. Stupa meaning the, let me say it this way. The monument where his ashes or reliquaries were. And we stayed at that monastery for several days. It's one of the few in the area that survived the Cultural Revolution in China. And it's said that there was a special dispensation from a senior Chinese official, then possibly Zhou Enlai, to protect it from the, destructions that the Red Guard did to that monastery as well as to many other monasteries in that town and throughout China. But the stupa itself is ancient, whereas the rest of the monastery was rebuilt. So Tosu is, or Tao Tzu, if you are more accurate using the Chinese pronunciation rather than the Japanese, is giving another facet to what Joshu's saying, not something different, just another way of expressing moment, moment, non-stop flow. Moment, moment, non-stop flow. Thought, thought, non-stop flow. Or the flow never stops. Thought, thought can be as simple as sad, happy, joyful, depressed, all sorts of feelings, thoughts, emotions, the whole emotion, thought, spectrum. If we're not caught in it, then it's just this universe we sit within, moment, moment, moment. But as we know very well, being caught or holding on to it or attempting to hold on to it, which we never can do anyway, just results in difficulties of all sorts, sadness, suffering, upset, harmful actions by us, by others. So, in a way, our whole practice is moment, moment, non-stop flowing. Ball bounces here, ball bounces there. The universe, swift movement, flowing. That's just our life. Just our activities without getting entangled in these are good activities, these are bad, these I shouldn't have to do, why do I have to deal with this? How come she, how come he? Or the other side is simply allowing those balls to bounce up and down, and yet, right here, this. So the verse for this is worthwhile looking at. Oh, I should say, since I mentioned the first two capping phrases, further, when the monk comes to Tosu, the capping phrase, this too is a depth of that investigating together. Understand? It's gone by. Tosu and Joshu are both working together. Nevertheless, Tosu is adding complications. He's a fellow who creates complications. Now the monk has two things to, what does it mean? Moment, nonstop flow. What does it mean? So now I've got nonstop flow and a bouncing ball. That's when we get caught in the words. We go to the words instead of seeing what is actually going on. So let's look at the verse, because the verse helps us. Six consciousness is devoid of trying. It's very, very important. And yet, he poses a question. Devoid of trying. Otherwise, we you could say it's just another functioning, just like seeing, hearing, smelling. So that's why, as I mentioned yesterday in the Bahia, instructions to Bahia from the Buddha in the comment, it's when seeing, just seeing, when hearing, just hearing, when cognizing, which is another way of saying six consciousness, it's just that, except that we then add on, entangle it in it, mine, not mine, I should have, I should try to do it. It's just as is, just as is. Thoughts come, thoughts go, just as is. So, though it's fine question, the question is put as if he doesn't, the monk who's asking the question really doesn't get it, and that's evident. The adepts both knew where he was coming from. So they heard where he was coming from, but they didn't get sucked in into his game, but directly gave an immediate answer, an answer that enabled him, if he was open to it, to truly grasping, to truly getting, to truly grokking, what is this? Bouncing a ball upon swift water. Bouncing a ball all upon busy, swift water. Where it falls, it doesn't stop. Who can see it? Sometimes we miss the fact that it doesn't stop. This is just the life, ongoing life. We think, okay, I got it. It went there. That's what it's about. But already, we've stopped it. and then we get in trouble. If we try to figure it out, then it's not it. What we figure out is not it. This is an echo of what Joshu said yesterday. I do not know this. I do not know. Don't know. Being this don't know is this moment. That's what it says. Just this moment. Just this moment. That's what the practice principles are encouraging us to. In one sense, if I explain it, let go of what blinds us. Let go of the question. It's not a problem that the question comes up, but let go of what we do with the questions, of what we do with the answers which the universe keeps revealing to us. The non-stop flowing. If we sit, we enter into what we always are. If we allow ourselves to enter into it, then all sorts of balls can bounce in and bounce out. We don't have to do it just sit when we sit. Zazening throughout the day. All sorts of balls bounce in and out. We can catch them and toss them on. But if we get caught by catching the ball and then go, oh, isn't this a wonderful ball? I made a great catch. Ah! Right there. Caught in self-centered dream. Right there we're holding on. And even though we can't hold, even if we just sit and hold something, we discover it's a bouncing ball on swiftly flowing water. If we zazen, even holding, zazening clarifies. So hold, okay, hold, 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 hold. And we see what happens the more we hold. It's no problem with the ball appearing, bouncing onto the water of our life, bouncing around in the water of our life, the water flowing. Don't get caught in the image. And yet, appreciate it as the life that you are living right now. Nothing but. Nothing but. Bouncing ball on swiftly flowing water. Or gently flowing water. I don't care. Don't let words trap you, but use them freely. Use them freely for what? To enable you to appreciate your life, to live your life, to respond to the circumstance of your life, to respond in a way that's skillful rather than a way that feeds the attempts to solidify, the attempts to hold on to the ideas and thoughts, to believe those as the truth, which end up being blinders to living this Buddha life that you, I, we are, which unfortunately, if we miss it, if we solidify, if we hold, stick, hang on to, then the dreams lead us to do sometimes harmful, nightmarish things, whether to ourselves, to each other, or just look out in the world and you see how even at this very moment, wars are being fought. Battles are going on because of that. So please all, live your swiftly flowing stream, bouncing, 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 this moment, bowing down, sitting up. Thank you.